What I'm going to share today is something basic, very basic. We all know all this, but I want to talk a little bit about Artios. You know, the Artios letters, those teachings that we share on our website and the internet every month, are something we have to pay attention and read and learn. That's the purpose, that we can learn from there so we can grow and we can get to a certain point. So Artios is a Greek word and appears only once in the whole Bible in 2 Timothy 3:17, and it's been translated as perfect. The word perfect, according to Webster, means being entirely without fault or defect, being lawless. I mean, flawless. But biblically speaking, means spiritual maturity. And to help us to achieve that spiritual maturity, that perfection, is one of the purpose of these teachings, the Artios letters. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God reveals God's will. So let's see in some parts of the Bible what God teaches us about His will. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Bless you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. You know, Paul many times spoke by commandment, but sometimes he spoke not by commandment. And he did great. But in this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what Jerry shared last time about the things we need to abound? Faith, agape, understanding, diligence. So, Paul is basically greeting Timothy with faith, grace, mercy, and peace. The Greek word for commandment also means decree or authority. Paul, by revelation and with the whole authority of God Himself, wrote this letter to Timothy, and this was God's will. Verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach not other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which ministers question, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. There's going to be a lot of fables and tales and stories out there in the world. But God doesn't want us to focus on that. Paul told Timothy something specific. The Greek word translated as besought also means to invite or to encourage, to exhort. Paul was not begging or pleading to Timothy as if Timothy had not wanted to do what Paul said to him in Macedonia. Paul is inviting, encouraging, and exhorting Timothy to do what Paul has stated, to charge the people not to teach other doctrine or pay attention to fables and endless genealogies. The word no in the phrase no other doctrine is a subjective denial based on feelings. It's a conditional denial. The word neither in verse 4, it means not even in a continued negation. So don't even think of that, okay? Don't do that. No fables. The word, the Greek word for charge indicates to instruct, to order, to command. Timothy instructed the people as a command from God, transmitted by Paul, ordering them to not teach other doctrines, not questioning rather than godly edifying. This is in faith. Faith, we all know, is the Greek word pistis, meaning believing. The edifying of God comes by believing of the man himself. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God wants us to hear his word and believe it in order to receive edification. God does not want us to get involved with the fables of the world, nor to bring endless genealogies disputes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. The word end in the Greek is the Greek word telos, which literally means the defining point or goal, the point aimed at as a limit. In other words, the ultimate purpose. This is the point of this commandment, order or request. What? Agape. From a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. This reminds me of Romans 12 verse 9, when it says, let agape be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. The word dissimulation is the same Greek word translated as unfeigned in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So agape, as well as faith, pistis, must be genuine, not fake. The good conscience has to do with our moral perceptions based on godly principles. All this lead me to a point of great importance, to which all Christian believers must submit. Do you remember the great commandment? Matthew chapter 22 verse 3. Verse 35. Matthew 22 verse 35 said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt agapao the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt agapao thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If the great commandment is to agapao God, and the second one is unto like it, to agapao our neighbor, by simple logic, we can deduce that the law of agape is the most important law to which we must to adhere. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches about agape, not as a feeling we must develop toward God and toward others from an emotional point of view, but as a behavioral manifestation or a manner in which we must conduct in order to please God. In 1 Corinthians 13, we see the qualities of agape which come from God. These features shows the highest ethical and moral concepts that we must apply in our daily walk. We have described these, and we have been taught that, as the love of God in the renewed mind in practice. But agape does not have anything to do with feelings our emotions. Now, we can clearly understand what the purpose of the commandment from God to Paul, from Paul to Timothy, and from Timothy to the people is. So going back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, we see that now the end, the purpose of the commandment, the final goal, is charity or agape out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The will of God for his children is agape out of a pure heart and genuine faith, and that we do not stray from the truth by teaching false doctrines. We must teach the truth of God's word. Verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Verse 6. We read 5 already. Mm-hmm. Verse 6. From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor wherefore they affirm, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man useth it lawfully. That is what God wants us. That is why God doesn't want us to fall into the fables of the world, the idle talk. He wants us to rely and to really know and understand that what we say and that what we affirm. Verse 8 says that the law is good is one use it lawfully. This applies to any law. What it means is that although the law is good, if it's not used legitimately, it's useless. This is the word of God, and it is good. But if those who teach it do not teach it and do not understand what they say or affirm, it will bring no benefit to the listeners. For that reason, this is important and necessary, and is basically vital to rightly divide the word of God, the word of truth. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. At the beginning of chapter 1, we saw that Paul, by revelation, by God's command, wrote this epistle to Timothy. In this chapter 2, God says that first of all, he wants Christians to pray for all men. The phrase first of all shows me this is something very important we need to do. And the fact that God uses theses, prosuke, entuxis, eucharistia, four different types of prayers, also shows me that praying for all men is very, very important. And we'll see that in a moment. In the Bible, we all know the word all is used in two ways, all with distinction and all without exception. In this case, God wants us to pray for all men without exceptions, believers and unbelievers. Verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. God wants all his children to live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. and praying for others, for our leaders, for people in power, and for all men without exception, can cause us to live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. I don't want to bring any politics into this, but we can see what happens when we don't pray for people. Chaos. Distraction. Uncertainty. Doubt and fear. And God doesn't want that in His children's life. All we hear today is about we are being taken care of Him by His own will. We are already sitting up in heavenlies. Every time Dulce talks to Cecilia and talks about, you know, she trying to sell her house, and she say, well, what do I supposed to care about my house? My room is already building up in heaven. So, we have to focus on that. The world's not going to stop. And the world's not going to stop Jesus Christ from coming back. But if we want to have a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, praying for others, it is vital. See? Verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God only wants the best for His children, and for us to pray for all men so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life is good and acceptable to His sight. But the other end result of we praying for all men is that those who are Christian believers can become, those who are not Christian believers can become part of God's family. Verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God not only wants all men without exception to be saved, but that they also come to the knowledge of the truth. But going to know the truth is something that each individual must to seek on their own. God does not force anyone. Everything is free will. Salvation is available to everyone who believes and wants to be saved. Salvation depends on each person. Of course, not everyone believes, and not everyone wants salvation. But those who are saved, it is because they made the decision to believe. Now, what is that the truth of God wants us to know? Because He said He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What truth is He talking about? Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This single verse debunks the idea of three gods in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God's Holy Spirit do not exist. Verse 5 clearly says, for there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Trinity is not part of the truth that God wants, that God's words teaches. It's part of what the tradition teaches, the fables that we should supposed to ignore and do not take part. The traditions are doctrines of men, and these doctrines of men is what makes religion. God does not want us to pay attention to fables and endless genealogies. The Word of God is not a religion. The Word of God is not based on false doctrines made by men. The Word of God is the will of God, and is a way of life, not a religion. The Word of God shows the relationship between a father with his children. That is what the truth of the Word of God teaches. The will of God is that all men, without exception, come to be saved, and that they, by themselves, come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, How is that after being saved, we can get to know the truth? God also tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Everybody knows that by heart. Study to show that says approved unto God, a worker that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does a worker do? Work. A workman of God's word should work to get to know the word. And to know the word, rightly divided. Now, the only way to rightly divide the word of God is by knowing the word. If I don't know the word, how come I'm going to rightly divide it? Now, the phrase rightly dividing is the Greek word orthotomeo. It means to make a straight cut, to dissect correctly, rightly divide. That is why we use the phrase rightly divide every time we teach. When we teach, we must rightly divide the word of God. Many only teach what they hear. They don't even know how to rightly divide the word of God. But it is important to rightly divide the word when we teach. Remember that although the law is good, in our case, the law of agape, but if it's not used lawfully, will bring not benefit to the listeners. Now, I don't want you to forget I'm doing a little review or commentary on the word artios, what the word artios means. Do you see what the word of God says in his word? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This verse is a very clear example of how rightly divide the word of God. Because many misinterpret this verse and teach that the word of God is useful for four things: teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. But it's not so. We read that all scripture is good of God, is breathed and is profitable. The word profitable is the Greek word ophelinos, which means helpful or beneficial. The word profitable or the word beneficial shows us that we can use it. We can make something profitable out of it. God tells us that his word is useful, beneficial for three things. The first is to teach the word of God to those who ignore the word by lack of knowledge and teach it, rightly divide it. The second is for reproof. This is reproving or rebuke when someone who has been taught correctly is not acting or conducting according to the will of God. The third is to correct when someone has not been taught correctly and are taking a wrong path. These three things together, teaching, reproof, and corrections, are instruction in righteousness. Now, we saw that Paul, by revelation, by God's command, charged Timothy to instruct the Christian believers to teach no other doctrine, not even pay attention to fables and endless genealogies, which only produce questioning and no edification. We saw that the purpose of the commandment is agape, from a pure heart and good conscience and sincere faith. We saw the agape of God as the greatest commandment to which we must to adhere. And according to 1 Corinthians 13, is the code of conduct, or we know it as the code of conduct of the Christian believers, because it shows the characteristic of the agape which come from God with the highest concept of etiquette moral. We saw that God wants us to know his word to the point that we understand what we say and affirm, and we must rightly divide the word of God because as a law, if it's not used properly, does not bring benefits. We saw that the word wants us to pray for all men and women, of course. And by doing that, we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We saw that God's will for all men and women, without exception, is that they might be saved and that they might, by their own free will, come to the knowledge of the truth. We saw that the truth is that there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We saw that God himself tells us how we can get to know the truth by working his word as workmen, and that only by knowing his word we can rightly divide it. We have also seen that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for three things: for teaching, reproof, and correction. And these three things together account for instruction in righteousness. Why? Why God wants us to learn, to understand, and to do all these things? 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. That is what God wants for every one of us, and that should be our goal every single day, or the goal of every single Christian believer, to be artios, to be perfect. But we find imperfections when we see our lives through the glass of the five senses. Some fat, some skinny, some tall, some short, some ugly looking, some good looking, handsome or beautiful, some weak, and some strong. So when we base everything in the senses world, we will never be seen or will find or will be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The perfection to which God is concerned is a spiritual perfection, a spiritual maturity. Because if we look at our features and physical abilities, we will never be perfect or will never find perfection. But now, through the obedience, the works, the sacrifice, and the blood of our mediator, the man Christ Jesus, we can be entirely without fault or defect. That's what perfect means. And spiritually, we are. The purpose of every Christian believer, according to the will of God, is to be perfect, totally furnished unto all good works. Remember, the word perfect here in 2 Timothy 3:17 is the Greek word artios. That's where we took the name of our monthly letter, because that is the purpose of our letter. To teach the word of God rightly divided, for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and for them to achieve that spiritual maturity that is the perfection which God sees in us today. He sees us perfect. That is the will of God. And that is why we pray. That's why we believe. And that's why we desire for every Christian believer. What? To be artios. To achieve that spiritual maturity. Why? So we all can be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. God bless you guys.